Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. For this week only, save $200 on their 3-pack. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. A lot of people asking what the big announcement is. You have to wait until Howie's show at 3:30. During Grace's News, we will be revealing the big announcement, and you will not be disappointed. Before I hand it over to Jared for producer's picks, I did want to say that I read a story yesterday from Barry Weiss's Substack, and it was all about the miseducation of the youths in America. And she mentioned this school, Grace Church School. And I saw today when I saw the story in the New York Post, that was the reason it stuck out to me. It was because I was like, how do I know that name? And they actually just expanded on something that Barry Weiss had talked about in her piece. A Manhattan private school aiming to use more inclusive language is encouraging its students to stop using the terms mom, dad, and parents because the words make assumptions about kids' homes' lives. Kids' home lives. The Grace Church School in NoHo issued a 12-page guide to students and staff explaining the school's mission of inclusivity. They recommend using the terms grown-up, folks, family, or guardians as alternatives to mom, dad, and parents. It also suggests using caregiver instead of nanny slash babysitter. And I do have to say, there seems to be this real desire from the progressive liberals to erase words like mom and dad. And do you remember, Jared, at one point, they didn't want us to say breastfeeding. They wanted us to say
chest feeding.
And I notice it as a woman because it's confusing for me in the sense that it used to be feminists were so proud. I am woman. Hear me roar. You know, there's nothing like a female person in the workforce, and us women can do anything if we set our minds to it. Just, you know, a variety of things. You can be whatever you want to be. And now that seems to be slowly getting kind of erased. And I find it interesting because the first time I saw this really happening was in the House when they passed something. It was some bill where they didn't want people to say mother, father. They didn't want them to use specific pronouns. And here's my problem with it. Besides the fact that it's dumb, that's number one with most of these issues. It's dumb. Number two is that the liberals, yet again, don't follow their own rules. And I'm going to give you some examples. They don't want these little kids using the word mother because it's not inclusive enough. But when they think it fits something, when they think they can, you know, emotionally manipulate the press or maybe get an answer that makes people think they care more, they'll throw out mom, sister, daughter, whatever they want. Woman. As long as they can work it and it works an angle that they're going after. Now, here's a couple of examples, okay? Let's start with when Jen Psaki was asked about the Treasury Secretary. This is a flashback, cut 12.
Is the White House concerned about the stock market activity we're seeing around GameStop? And now with some other stocks as well, including the subsidiary or whatever, the company that was Blockbuster. And have there been any conversations with the SEC about how to proceed?
Well, I'm also happy to repeat that we have the first female Treasury Secretary and a team that's surrounding her, and often questions about market we'll send to them.
Female? What does that have to do with it?
Shouldn't we
just call her person? Shouldn't we just call her brain with body attached to it? And then she did it again. This is another flashback. This was during one of her videos where she answers questions like, should pineapple be on pizza? Cut 13.
Is the White House concerned about the stock market activity we're seeing around GameStop?
This is the same one.
But what is President Biden doing for my small business? First and foremost, he nominated a woman to lead the Small Business Administration who formerly worked there.
First and foremost, he nominated a woman. I think you mean first and foremost, he nominated a woman. What's the correct term now? What's the correct term for just if you don't want to say any term? Is it they?
That depends on the person's personal pronouns.
You're right. We shouldn't even get into it. And then lastly, Nancy Pelosi. Remember this one? This is cut 20.
I stand before you as a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a daughter. A daughter whose father proudly served in this Congress.
No. You stand before them. Hold on. Let me check the guide here. Nancy, you stand before them as a grown-up, as a folk, as family, or as a guardian, but you are not a mom or a parent, according to the new rules of woke language. But I do appreciate you guys using that whenever you think it's gonna, you know, make you look more sympathetic.
The mamas and the babies.
No. The folks. And the
tinier folks.
And the smaller folks, exactly, Jared. All right, but enough about that. We got bigger fish to fry. Jared Diglio is here with your favorite part of the day, producer's picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, producer's picks.
Take it away, Jared.
All right, from the Department of Please God, yes, let this happen. Michelle Obama is considering retirement from public life, citing recent lifestyle changes. Yes, please go away.
Jared, you don't really believe this. This is like the Rolling Stones. If you say it's your last concert ever, everybody shows up. Do you know how many people went to the Rolling Stones concert 30 years ago going, we got to go to this one. It's the last one.
Yeah.
So next time she does an event, they're going to say she's considering retiring from public life. It's the oldest trick in the book.
Not necessarily. She has gotten into knitting lately. Quote, knitting is a forever proposition. You don't master knitting because once you make a scarf, there's the blanket. And once you do the blanket, you've got to do the hat, the socks, and she's figuring out how to make sleeves and a collar. She could keep going on about knitting.
That's okay. I think we're good.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, please go knit.
It's the oldest trick in the book is to say you're retiring. Speaking of that, I think I will be retiring maybe tomorrow or the next day. So you guys definitely want to keep listening to the show and spreading word about how awesome it is and, you know, buying stuff at the store and all that good stuff. Because, like I said, this could be my last show.
That is not the announcement at 3:30.
No, it's not.
All right. And anniversaries. This one actually is a really cool one. 30 years ago today, Pearl Jam started recording 10. It was the first album they released, which included Black, Even Flow, Jeremy.
Even Flow!
Lots of songs. For me, this is... I was in sixth grade. I was the end of sixth grade. And this is one of the seminal albums of my life. I know everybody loves the music from when they grew up. But this really launched the Seattle sound, the alternative music revolution. It got away from all the synth pop of the 80s and sort of brought music back to instruments. You know, it really brought Nirvana, who'd been around, and brought them into the spotlight. But it was a revolution in music. And 30 years ago today, they started recording that album. So happy anniversary to the musical world and to Pearl Jam.
What's your favorite Pearl Jam song?
It's tough, but it's actually, it's one of the bumpers we use. It's called Dissident.
Nice.
And it's one of the 20-second bumpers to go out at the end of the hour.
And tell me again, Jared, what group of music do they label themselves as?
That was the alternative music, grunge, Seattle sound.
Cool.
It had been around. It had been hanging out. Former members of Mother Love Bone made Pearl Jam. I'm not going to go nuts on it because it's all in the weeds, but very awesome stuff.
Very cool.
From Pearl Jam 30 years ago today. And in news that'll make the captain's happy heart as happy as an alligator, for the first time since 1995, the Duke Blue Devils men's basketball team will participate in neither the ACC tournament nor the NCAA tournament.
That's good.
It it's good for the captain. Yeah, he's a Tar Heel. UNC and Duke, they hate each other.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay, okay.
For the first time since 1995, they have willingly withdrawn because of a COVID-19 positive test in terms of the protocols.
I mean,
they didn't have a particularly good team this year, but for the first time since 1995, no Duke Blue Devils in the NCAA tournament.
There's a lot of things that make COVID nonsensical, like some of these rules we follow, but sports is a big one. Because you have the refs with the masks on. I'm just thinking of football right now, not basketball. But you have the refs with the masks on. You have the players put the mask on when they're on the bench. But then they get out playing with other players and they're all running each other over without the masks on. None of it makes any sense. But that's the world we live in right now.
Yes. So you see, Tom Brady didn't wear a mask at all ever during the whole thing. But there's Andy Reid, the Chiefs coach, was on the sidelines with the full face shield. He's got the mask on. And it's just, it's nonsensical, all of it.
It really is. I saw a video the other day of this lady, and she was at the drive-thru, and they asked her to put a mask on when she was at the drive-thru, and she said, I don't have a mask. And they said, okay, we'll hand you a mask. And she said, well, why don't you just, instead of handing me the mask, hand me my drink, and then I'll pull away. And then he said, no, I have to hand you the mask. And she said, so you're going to hand me the mask? It's just, it's...
By the way, and also in vaccine news, if you have ever called your vaccine the Fauci ouchie, rethink your life.
Or if you have a pillow with Fauci's face on it, you know, maybe take up some hobbies. Maybe look into knitting. According to Michelle Obama, it is fun.
Forever. It's a forever proposition.
It's a forever proposition.
It's like the government. It's just this bottomless pit that keeps gnawing at your soul.
It never ends. I don't think I have any hobbies that are forever propositions when I think of it. I'm trying to learn to play tennis because people say you can play that forever. But we'll see. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you are missing out. I'm actually going to run out during this break and grab my Super Beats Heart Chew for the day. They're delicious. They combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grape seed extract. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine side effects. Jared has seen me when I have my second cup of coffee. Not always a good look. I'm better off with 1 cup of coffee and a couple Super Beats. You can take 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere. It's easy to take them and they taste delicious. Do what I did, support your heart health with Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at getsuperbeats.com/grace. When you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in a 3rd for free. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace. 844-500-4242. We'll take a couple calls before our guest at 2:30. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I sound good today. Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It is a gorgeous day here in Boston. I hope you're all having a great Thursday. We have more to get to. I did want to read you guys this latest news update I read from ABC. Those exchanges, they're talking now about Joe Biden's lack of appearances. They finally noticed after 50 days that maybe he's not going to be the ratings gold they once thought he would be. But those exchanges are often devoid of any meaningful back and forth and typically last just seconds. The president sometimes responds to 1 or 2 short questions, if that, while White House staff members yell, "Thank you," and "Let's go," as they usher the journalists out. "I'm sorry, can't hear him," Biden said on Thursday as his aides screamed over a reporter and pushed the press out of the room. The president did not answer the question. I have to say, I don't think there's a lot that I would be useful for in the Joe Biden presidency, but I would be so great at being one of those girls. "Thank you, everybody, please move along. Out, 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 out. Thank you. No more questions. Goodbye." It's absolutely unreal. They must really start thinking, oh, we had it pretty good when Trump was in there. Speaking of Trump, he's urging Herschel Walker to run for Senate in Georgia. Did you hear this, Jared?
I did.
What do you think? I think he'd be great.
I think he'd be fantastic.
He spoke at the RNC, I think it was, this year, and he just gave a beautiful tribute to Trump and really talked about how they've been friends for a really long time. It goes back to 1982 when Trump was the then owner of USFL's New Jersey Generals.
That's right. Herschel Walker played for the Generals.
Yes, indeed. He signed Walker after his senior season at Georgia, and the two of them have a real bond, so he's pushing him to run. There's going to be a lot of interesting things that happen in 2022. There's going to be a lot of people who run. I don't think there's any room for rhinos anymore, and it will be fun to see who takes on these squishy Republicans. Today's poll question is brought to you by Genesis 950. Use Genesis 950 for all of your cleaning needs. Use code word GRACE to save $10. And get free shipping. Go to Genesis950.com. That's Genesis 950, a lot cheaper than replacing your carpets. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Are you going to watch Biden's address tonight?
Absolutely not. I'm getting a margarita. I'm going out. I'm getting a nice taco. And I'm not watching any of that nonsense.
11% of the audience say yes, they will. 89% say no.
11%? I thought this was going to be a 99-1 situation. I'm getting worried about you guys out there. What are you doing? You know you can knit, right? There's other options. Anyway, I want to talk about something quick, Jared, and I kind of want you to take over for this, but the trial in Minnesota right now, the Derek Chauvin trial, is going on, and it seems that they've set up a memorial / zone?
Yes. So I don't know exactly where in Minneapolis is. I believe it is around the area where the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin incident happened. But so much like we saw Chaz in Summer of Love, there has been the George Floyd Memorial Autonomous Zone, which is set up in Minneapolis.
Those don't usually end too well.
No, the autonomous zones don't go over so well, and they tend to not work out in favor, really, for anybody. But this is reporter Brian Enten, who's done some things like this before. He's kind of
he was checking out the scene.
Yeah, he was checking out the scene, and so he does a stander in front of one of the barricades to the George Floyd Autonomous Zone, or Gafaz, if you want to call it that. I don't
know. It's not as catchy. What was the other one called?
Chaz.
The
capital, yeah. Mm. This is like Jafaz or Gafaz.
I don't think Gafaz is going to catch on, Jared.
No. I tried.
I know.
All right. Well, this was, he was just doing a stander, as they call it in the business, in front of the autonomous zone. And some, we're not sure if they're residents of the autonomous zone or they're kind of marshals of the autonomous zone, showed up to kind of ask him what was going on. So this is what it sounded like.
This area behind me is the George Floyd Memorial. This is where George Floyd was killed back in May. Take a look. These barricades have been set up by protesters and supporters of the movement. They don't allow anyone in, not even the police. It's called an autonomous zone.
You're going to be in a bad situation here in a second.
Oh, I thought if we were on this side of the barricade.
You're going to be in a bad situation in a second.
What do you mean by
that?
Because
you've been called out for what you are, and you need to get out of here.
Please go.
We know what you are. You need to get in your car and go.
We're just media.
I don't give a f*** who you are. You've been called out for who you are. You need to get in your car and go.
Wow, those are some threatening words right there.
Yeah.
Them fighting words. Yikes.
Yeah, so in the name of love and peace and unity.
And I have to say,
get the bleep out of here.
I have to say this, Jared. What happened to George Floyd, anyone who watched that video, it was terrible. And everybody thought it was terrible. And everybody thought this guy, he was, you know, crushing George Floyd's neck. And it was awful. And I think everyone rightly condemned it when they saw it. But once again, a bad incident is being turned into something that also is not good. Setting up this zone and threatening reporters who come near it, something bad's going to happen if you get close. that doesn't seem helpful either. None of this seems two wrongs, three wrongs, four wrongs. None of this seems to be making a right, at least as far as I'm concerned.
No, I tend to agree. And I don't believe, I don't know anything about George Floyd, but from what I have heard, he was, you know, he was a guy who enjoyed peace. He didn't want anything to happen. He just couldn't breathe and got thrown into this thing. I don't think it honors his memory to tell people to leave.
I would agree. We're going to be talking to Molly Murray next about her piece in the New York Post. High schooler closures have put us through hell. Bring back in-person teaching. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I got to give props to the noisy fixture, as the LA Times called him, Peter Ducey. He is killing it in that press room. He was just holding Jen Psaki's feet to the fire. I might not have time to get to it in today's show, but I assure you Howie Carr will. But he was asking her about what's happening on the border in Texas with the illegal immigrants, and she immediately started attacking Governor Abbott, saying that he was, you know, not based in fact. And when it went back to Peter Ducey, he said, I didn't ask you about Governor Abbott. I asked you about President Biden, who's in charge of the federal government. It was a pretty amazing moment. I don't think, and I say this not trying to be mean, but just my honest assessment is I don't think Psaki is going to be there for much longer if this issue keeps up, because she seems to be getting more and more nervous every time they talk about it. But we do have a very special guest with us today. There's a piece out right now in the New York Post. It's titled High Schooler. Closures have put us through hell. Bring back in-person teaching. I'm talking to Molly Murray now. She recently wrote this piece for the New York Post. She's a sophomore in high school. Molly, thank you for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Grace. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you on, Molly. So first of all, the school you go to, it's a Catholic school, and you really like it there. I know there's been some pieces that they're associating what you're saying about Zoom learning with your actual high school, but you want to clarify that you love your high school and the teachers that work there.
Yes, I'm so grateful. I've been in person since September from the start, 5 days a week. I'm extremely grateful for all my administrators, teachers, all the faculty and staff that they've done to make sure that we're in person all the time here at Our Lady of Mercy Academy. And yeah, it's been really great having to be back.
Now, Molly, your piece focuses more on other students who do not have that advantage. They are learning at home. They're stuck at home. Some of you make mention of how many kids are not playing sports right now, not participating in extracurricular activities. But I want to kind of drill down on the point you make about experiencing a deep teenage funk. A lot of my listeners are no longer teenagers, myself included. What was that? What did that mean for you?
Yeah, so you always like envision your high school experience. Everyone talks about, oh yeah, my freshman year, my sophomore year, my senior year. No one ever says, oh yeah, my freshman year, I was in a global pandemic and I missed out on half of my year. Like, you just, it makes me sad to think about how much I missed out on from this virus. And to think that I've gone back, but kids are still missing out. It's been 367 days. It's been a full year, and some kids still haven't gone back to the building. It makes me sad to think about that they're not experiencing what high school truly is.
And Molly, the point you make, you say, you know, if we could just get back to in-person learning, maybe we could revive the way of life that we once had for America's youth. And this is really just a question for you. Do you think it's going to be that easy, or do you think some people now are going to really struggle with this return to school?
I mean, I feel like people are just kind of like stuck. They sort of need to get over this like bump. Like, if we can get kids back in school, if we can start having the whole country back in school, the transition to normal would be so much easier, I think. Because if everyone's just back in school, then more stores can start opening up, which I know they are. But everything can just start opening up more, and it'll be an easier transition for everyone.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit here about after-school sports. You call them end-of-day incentives. Talk to people a little bit about how many kids are missing out on this and what you think it means to not have these sports after school, to just kind of be stuck on your couch all day long.
Yeah, so in this last spring, I missed out on my softball season. I've been playing softball since first grade, and having to miss out on that was truly upsetting. Like, and I know for the seniors and juniors, people need these sports to get into college. Some, if they don't have the academics, they need an athletic scholarship. So it forced some kids, they weren't able to go to college without that scholarship. And if you're home, you have no motivation to do anything. If you don't know that your school is not having your sports team or all the soccer fields are closed off, why would you go outside and practice? There's no point to it. You have no motivation whatsoever. And it's forcing kids to just become lazy.
And also, you talk about the emotional toll it's taking on kids. And talking to you now, I know that you've been in school and you seem like you're handling this well, but you said that it's no wonder that one in four young adults reports having suicidal thoughts. Have some of your friends ever reached out to you? And are people feeling depressed, or is this just stuff we're seeing in the news?
I mean, it was really hard on me during quarantine. I cried almost every day. There was a young boy in my town who over the summer actually committed suicide. I couldn't even imagine what was going through his head when that happened. But there's no one to reach out to. If you don't have school, it cut off all that line of connection and support, the teachers, your friends, people you don't normally talk to. You just lost them. You didn't see them again when you were on the screen. There's no point. You can't just start a conversation online. You lost all relationships when we went into quarantine.
And Molly, I think one thing you do in this piece, and it's wonderful, and I congratulate you so much. You're a high school student, and you're in the New York Post, which I read every single day. I've never gotten any of my stuff accepted into the New York Post, so I commend you for that. It's an excellent, excellent piece of work. You talk a little bit here.
Thank you.
You talk a little bit here about the science and the survival rate of this virus. Do you think it's time to open up for good?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just don't understand it. If people are saying, wear your mask, why are we still having to quarantine if you're, quote unquote, exposed to someone? If we're all wearing our mask, then how are we still getting exposed? I don't get it. My brother's stuck at home with 72 of his classmates because he was exposed. But he was wearing his mask. What is that? I just don't get it. And if it's a 99.7% survival rate, what's the difference of the coronavirus and the flu? It just doesn't make sense to me.
I'm talking to Molly Murray. She wrote a piece, Closures Have Put Us Through Hell, Bring Back In-Person Teaching. Another thing you talk about, Molly, that I've been hearing a lot from different people, mostly parents, is this kind of easy grading system that's going on now. A lot of these classes are becoming more pass-fail. You talk about grade inflation. Do you think that this is going to hurt you guys in the long run when you go back to school and all of a sudden, you know, the teachers aren't giving you kind of these passes?
Most definitely. I feel like I know from a lot of friends that don't go to my school, it's just they're taking the lazy way out. They don't want to go back to school and actually have to take a test in person when you can just look up the answer. But what are kids going to do when you can't Google the answer to something in life? You won't always have that. You can't just go online and Google what to do. You need to actually be learning skills in school and know what to do. You have to study for stuff. You can't just take the lazy way out.
Right. And one of your final lines here, you say the bottom line is this: remote learning creates robots while in-person learning creates intelligent individuals and citizens. We need to stop making excuses and get our students back inside school. I think the social element of it, and I even see it now, Molly, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but when I'm with my friends now, it has been a really long time. And here I am, a 28-year-old person. I've socialized a lot in my life. But you do kind of feel rusty and you feel a little awkward. I can't imagine being in high school and being gone for a full year. I already feel so insecure. And then I go back into this high school and I haven't interacted with people in a year. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, it's really hard because I walk into some of my classes and it's just silence. Like, you would come to school and there would be kids talking. The teachers would have to, like, take 10 minutes to quiet them down. But now everyone's just sitting there in awkward silence. And it's like, where did all the energy, where did the excitement go to be with your friends, to socialize? I miss that. Like, over quarantine, I miss seeing my friends every day. It was so hard for me, and I'm just so grateful that now I can be back and see them every day.
That makes me so sad that you say that, that you walk into school now and people are so silent. I see it too, though. We all have these masks on every day, and you do start to feel kind of like a shell, like you're just going through the motions of everything.
Yeah, you can't see, like, when someone's smiling or not. Like, I'm walking down the hallway and I see their eyes squint a little. I mean, I think they're smiling, but, you know, it's sad.
No, most definitely. Molly, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to say? I know you want to give a shout out to the teachers at your school who have made your experience a lot better than other kids, but I hope for everyone's sake. Oh, Molly, actually, I do have one more question. Have you guys seen an influx of new students? Are parents trying to get their kids into your school? Because it seems like your school's doing it right.
Yeah, our school's doing really great. Yeah, we have had a few girls transfer here, which is really nice. But yeah, I just want to give a big thank you to everyone at Our Lady of Mercy and also to Sohrab Armari at the New York Post for actually giving me a chance and publishing my article. I wouldn't be here without them. So thank you.
Molly Murray, and I'll tweet out your column, and I'm sure this will not be your last one. It's a great piece. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we hope to have you back on soon, Molly, when you publish something else.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Alrighty. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. The reviews are amazing, as this is one product that actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, which is great, because it's safe for your family, for your pets. You don't have to worry about it. But my favorite part about Genesis 950, it's made in America. That's huge, especially today. If you're tired of pet cleaners that don't work, or you're tired of waiting for things to come back in stock, check out Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to, get this, 7 gallons of cleaner. It's great for everywhere, not just if you have pets. It's great for bathrooms, for counters, for kitchens. Anything you can think of, Genesis 950 has you covered. Before you think of getting a new carpet, check out Genesis 950. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code GRACE. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. genesis950.com, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. We'll be right back with the car crossover. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone. It is springtime. Spring is here. It looks beautiful at the studio. I thank you so much for tuning in to the Grace Curley Show. And it's your favorite part of the show. It's time for the car crossover, and it's brought to you by McConnell's Irish Whiskey. You know what that means, how he's going to do his Irish accent at any second.
Say it's preserve us.
There it is. You'll know when you take your first sip, some things are worth the wait. Also, McConnell's Whiskey is sponsoring our studio VIP visits once Captain Kerr returns. The first will be Tuesday, May 4th. You can enter for a chance to win a free VIP visit. Just go to HowieCarshow.com, click on the McConnell's Irish Whiskey banner, and don't forget, you get a set of books, you get an Irish whiskey gift basket, you get food, you get fun. It's over $400. That's what the value is. So do not miss out. Go to HowieCarshow.com, click on the banner, enter to win. Now, without further ado, Howie Carr, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Grace. I think we're on the Andrew Cuomo death watch a little bit here today.
Yeah, the groping story definitely put him over the edge.
Grace, there's a word that you never want to have associated with yourself, a verb in a news story.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a guy, the word is fondle.
Yeah.
I read that this morning, and I thought it's hard to come back from a fondle story.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine. But Howie, the crazier story, which I'm sure you are reading about, is what happened with these disabled group homes, and they're calling them death traps. And furthermore, there's stories coming out about Governor Whitmer, and those don't look good either. So I think that all of this sexual harassment stuff, while it's terrible and it deserves coverage, it can't wash away the nursing home scandals.
No, it can't. I just checked this morning for my Friday column in the Herald, and that dashboard is, they've made it pretty much unreadable. But Taylor was able to get through it. Still, in Massachusetts, over half the people dead were in nursing homes. 8,700 out of 16,000 were in nursing homes. And Charlie Parker's talking about a happy anniversary.
Ugh. I know. I know.
I can't believe that wasn't in the papers, though. I sent it to the Herald last night. I said, don't you think happy anniversary should be in the paper today? I'm just as well, because I can put it in the paper tomorrow, and we'll go over it again tonight. We played it maybe four or five times in the last hour of the show yesterday. But still, I mean, people should know that he said happy anniversary.
But Howie, you can make it even better and turn it into like a senator. Oh, what's his name? Who's the senator who we love who quoted Pelosi on the House floor and got in trouble for it?
Oh, Louie Gohmert.
I'm sorry, yeah. Oh.
Louie Gohmert, the congressman from East Texas. Yeah.
You could have a situation like that where you just write happy anniversary on the cover of the Boston Herald, and then when you get people saying, that's so insensitive, that's so mean, you could say, oh, we were just quoting Governor Baker. You didn't hear? Yeah.
It's a very special moment. He said that, too. It's a very special moment. What was your most – maybe I'll do that for the last hour tonight. What's your favorite very special moment of the last year? There's so many.
What's yours, Howie?
I don't know. I know what yours is, Grace. Your wedding being canceled.
Yeah, that's got to be it. But, you know.
I didn't have a moment like that, but – you know, I mean, the whole year has just been kind of like a toothache.
Yeah, and Howie, I think to your point, like I'm fine. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world by any means, but everyone does have something, you know, whether it's, oh, someone passed away, we couldn't have a funeral, mm-hmm. someone graduated, it had to be virtual,
yeah.
someone's wedding got canceled.
Or a restaurant you miss.
Your favorite restaurant got shut down, yeah. Your business got shut down. Your kid is now really struggling. And Howie, here's I want to say this because we just had a guest on and she was great, Molly Murray. She wrote a piece for the New York Post. She's actually Lou Murray's niece. The point is that a lot of these kids are struggling in school, and that makes sense. You know what I mean? You're not going to get mm-hmm. the same amount of schooling on a laptop. But I really worry about these kids' mental health. I think we've really done some damage to these young people.
Right. I know. You know, we always joked, the people who grew up in the 50s and the 60s, you know, with the, like in Portland, every noon on Saturday, the air raid sirens would go off. And, you know, the duck and covers and all that. But it wasn't ubiquitous. It wasn't all the time in front of you like this has been for the last year for these people, for these kids, telling them that they're going to die. And it's just not true, Grace.
Howie, it wasn't a fundamental fact of life, like Charlie Baker calls it?
No, it was not a fundamental fact of life. Since August the 12th, 390 adults under the age of 50 have died in Massachusetts. Under the age of 50, over the age of 60, 13,719. Now that to me indicates that there was probably no need to shut down. Oh, I don't know, the high schools, the middle schools, K-8, youth hockey, little league, cheerleading.
Hey, don't bring up youth hockey unless you want Baker to get upset. Okay, that is his bugaboo.
I know.
He does not like the youth hockey. He has no patience for that.
My hair's on fire.
His hair's on fire.
Yeah, it's happy anniversary, chuckles.
Howie, what else are you talking about today? I know we have a big announcement during my news segment later on, but what else is on your mind?
Well, we've got a lot of good stuff. We got to stand by if you're down on the Cape or near the Cape. We got a great deal with a cheap bastard deal coming up with Cape Gunworks, and it really behooves you to get your license to carry. They're making it tougher and tougher. The Democrats, they're out of control at every level, and the Second Amendment, they're coming after that today too. I don't know if you saw that. They're getting closer and closer to criminalizing private gun sales.
Well, Howie,
in the United States, unless of course you're an illegal alien.
I had a great cut that was going viral from Burgess Owens that I did not get to play, but maybe I'll play it during my news after you do your segment with Cape Gunn. That's the perfect segue. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Grace Curley Show. We'll be back with another jam-packed show tomorrow on my favorite day, Friday, and I got news to deliver on Howie's show coming up next. Don't go anywhere.